Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back, you guys. This week, we are mixing it up. We are, like Tyler mentioned, we're doing giveaways. So we're giving away a bottle of Howlerhead since we are Howlerhead ambassadors.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah, so reached out to them. I saw that they were doing Howlerhead ambassadorships when Dana White introduced it. And I was like, you know what? Let's sign up for this. And we literally signed up for their Howlerhead ambassadorship the same exact month that we started Whiskey and Wisdom. And it took a little bit of convincing, but they decided to let us in even underneath the limit that we had at the time for the number of followers and listeners. So greatly appreciative of Howlerhead and all of the free Howlerhead that they have given us over the months.
So we're giving that out this week. And because it is an early morning mix up, unfortunately, I forgot to bring the stuff to make Howlerhead smoothies. Oh. So we're just going to drink on something we've already had on the podcast. We're doing Uncle Nearest to start with, the 1884, one we had on with Emmy a while back.
And we'll try some more Howlerhead too.
Yes.
It's always fun to drink. Smooth one.
We're going to do it different. We're going to try a variety here.
Exactly. Bringing Dennis on, one of the masters of whiskey in Wilmington. So yes. Got to do it a little bit different this way.
Yeah. It's Tyler and Chris know when you come to rounds.
Yeah.
Catch them on a good day, you're going to catch some samples.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so this week we brought on Dennis. What's your last name?
I-N-G.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a gerund. I make words into a verb. So like run.
Tyler's like, go see Dennis. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I like that.
I love it. But yeah, we're going to sip on some, talk a little bit, figure out why he was in New Zealand, and probably figure out also what got him into Rounds.
Yeah. So co-owner of Rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. With John Spencer, one of my best friends, a mentor, great guy, second family, nice. But a life got me into Rounds.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah. Tell us about kind of how it started and everything, how you got to Wilmington and where you are today.
I am a conch. I was born in Key West. One of the few. My mom always said, be proud. Most children are only conceived there.
Right.
We were actually born in Key West.
Good point.
And yeah, we're considered conch kids. And I have a whole flag from Florida. It's like the Conch Republic.
Oh, wow.
I was Coast Guard captain. My mom, they met in Coast Guard Academy. Her dad was a Coast Guard admiral. He's pretty much a legend, who I'm named after. He's John Dennis Crowley. My dad's Brian Ng, but he, Coast Guard captain, moved around a lot every 2 years, constant moving. Ended up in Northern Virginia when he got off ships and went into like Coast Guard headquarters. My mom wanted to settle there for school systems, you know, Fairfax County's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the best. Up there, went to West Virginia for 3 years and left because I was going to die. That place is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up going home and my sister went to UNCW and I was just working up there trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And she was a sophomore in college here and she wanted to move out for her junior year. She's a smart one. So she graduated early. And she, for her last year, she just wanted to live off campus. She just didn't want to live with random people. And so she asked me to be her roommate.
Yeah.
I was like, what's Wilmington? Back then, this is 14 years ago. She was like, it's a college town. There's a beach here. And I had some friends that had gone here as well. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, what's life?
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to my buddy, Dustin Walsh. And I was like, yo, he moved out to San Diego. He's one of my best friends. He bartended around town for a long time. You might know him. Yeah. But we moved down here on a whim. Like 2 months later, we're in Wilmington.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, just uprooted and, you know, never looked back. I love it, though. This is home, you know, in Wilmington. And then I, first job here was at Kilwin's, scooping ice cream. I just needed a job. I was 23 years old, no idea what Wilmington was. And and then that I got into restaurants. Well, I've been in restaurants pretty much since 14. My parents were like, hey, congratulations, you're 14.
Go get a job.
You get a worker's permit.
Yeah, here's your worker's permit. Go.
I was doing landscaping. I hated that. And then I, you know, fell into restaurants. So I've been in them for about 22 years now.
Wow.
And all that has just like kind of led life leads you to where you end up. You know, it's butterfly effect. Decisions, yeah. You kind of just, it's weird. You know, you think back on it and you're like, I don't even know how I got here.
Yep. I've had that a few times. So I completely understand. So where does New Zealand fall into all of that?
Well, I was here and I was just, you know, here and I was 29. And there's a thing called a working holiday visa. If you're under 30, it's actually under 35, 44 different countries offer it. And I tell everybody you should look into it when you can, because you only get one chance in life. And in your 20s, your responsibilities are minor compared to anything going forward.
Right.
You know, and it's wild if you just don't just take a leap every once in a while. Just to let, it's for yourself mostly. And people ask why I even found New Zealand. And I was like, I don't know. I just always seen it in pictures. And I wanted to make sure it was real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, it was completely across the world, the lowest on the globe, the lowest country.
Yeah.
And it took a 13-hour flight from LA to get there. You know, it's insane. You're 18 hours. You're in tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. And so I just found New Zealand, and it's like the safest place in the world. There's no dangerous animals there. And you can hike anywhere you want. No poisonous plants. It's just incredible. Australia, everything kills you.
Right. New Zealand. We talked about that too.
New Zealand, everything is just plush. The people are, it's amazing. And I tell everybody, I'm like, Wilmington kind of makes me feel like that because of the genuineness you find, mm-hmm. you know, from conversation, just commonality. I'm not saying everybody, but on the overall, the people who are stationed here and they found Wilmington and appreciate the coast life are very similar to over there, where everyone just is more about uplifting other people, mm-hmm. like their friends, supporting them, taking care of the community, and like living well. It's a fit community here. It's fit over there. Everyone's walking. You know, I don't know if you guys have traveled in Europe or mm-hmm. everyone's walking. It's always
exactly.
It's a fitter lifestyle than we have in America. Mm-hmm. But over there, it was even more so about like very Wilmington-esque. Like people are just genuine. You go to the grocery store here and you're like, please don't see anybody. I gotta be quick. I don't have an hour for a quick combo.
Yeah.
You're
prisoners.
You see somebody and you're like,
it's like, all right.
All right, I got to make this quick. But good to see you. How's family? Da, 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 da. But yeah, sold everything I owned when I was 29 years old, except for my car.
Yeah.
Left it at my dad's house and went to New Zealand and traveled. With that, you get a year visa.
Okay.
I traveled Thailand for 68 days, overstayed my visa. That was a terrifying experience leaving the airport.
Yeah.
going through security. I'm like ready the last thing. And then like four dudes come up, Thai guys. They're like, you need to come with us. And I was like, oh, did somebody slip something in my bag? I'm like, oh my God, locked up abroad.
Exactly.
And they're like, here's your visa. It's only 60 days in Thailand. Most countries are 30. And they're like, you've stayed 68. Like, what are you doing? Are you trying to, and whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I read my visa, like the passport stamp wrong. And I mixed up my dates.
And
I had to pay like $1,000 or $450 fine, US dollars. But thought I was going to jail in Thailand.
I was going to say, $450 is definitely getting off easy as opposed to going to some jail in Thailand.
Yeah, for however long.
Right.
For 8 days of a trip.
Exactly.
So went 68 days there, then spent time in Indonesia, like 26 days in Indonesia. Canggu is my favorite place in the whole world.
Really?
It's unbelievable. It's a very, you know, a lot of people do podcast photography, marketing that live there from all over the world, but it's just a very homey beach community. Surf is amazing. Mm. Restaurants, small little community. Everything's on scooters. I got a little scooter tattoo on my thigh. Rachel did it for me.
Yeah.
I'll show you guys here.
Right. Oh, bro. It's like really. So we actually see it. Oh,
sick. Yeah. She did this at my house.
That's awesome.
We thought it was just going to fall off, but I call it scooter life. You know, I always have this, and I'm like, it's scooter life when you go on traveling, and it's like these, it's mental state. You know what I mean? When you're there, you're popping on a scooter, and you're like, my day? It's mental. So it's this scooter community in Canggu. It's the food, everything is just so peaceful. You know, and it's like, again, it's that mental state that, I don't know, traveling, and I guess this experience kind of brought back for me. So I lived in New Zealand, and then with the visa, you're supposed to do part time work. They want you really au pair, wait tables, pick berries and whatever shit. It's mostly for other countries. But I was like, ain't no way I'm going to survive for a year in New Zealand picking berries, waiting tables.
Yeah.
So I went on their monster.com website and whatever theirs is.
Right.
And I got a corporate job.
Oh, really?
I got a company car, company car, phone, salary, bonuses.
Oh, wow.
I was selling point of sale systems and like credit card readers. So what's interesting and what's crazy is this whole experience. New Zealand is like the credit card test site. Because if you think about it, it's where Visa and MasterCard are headquartered.
Right.
Phone and Ingenico are the two credit card processing companies are also headquartered there. But it's the size of California, but there's only 4.5 million people.
Oh, wow.
So when they test market stuff, so like the tapping goes that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
8 years ago, literally, I was demoing this in New Zealand. And it took us eight years to get this now. Sometimes I go into like gas stations and I see the card swipers and I was like,
why?
I was changing these out 8 years. These probably came from there
and
are here. And it's insane to me. But you think about that. It's like, again, time experiences. Like I would never have known how like far ahead some other places are like with like that. But they test stuff in New Zealand. And if it works, it works, like the tap and go.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, they pull it out. Never. The rest of the world never knows.
That's crazy, you know? Especially like a place like New Zealand, because when I think New Zealand, I think same thing. Like you see it in pictures, like does this place exist? It's like the only thing I know that comes from is the All Blacks.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location. And it's really nice. They got some greenery out back as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Oh, so yeah. But it is. It's insane, dude. The North Island of New Zealand is like the plush. The Hobbit was filmed up there.
Yeah.
That's where it was. It's plush, coastal, gorgeous surf, gorgeous beaches. And you go to the South Island and it's winter. It's all mountain ranges and it's two completely different worlds. And it's, you got to spend time there though. I recommend it. Besides what it did for my life, like as far as that trip and experience, New Zealand is like somewhere and besides that and Canggu, two most amazing places, highly recommend. You will never regret that trip. It's not something you'll ever feel not safe.
Yeah.
It's just worth going to see again and like experience and be like, wow, this is like a paradise.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. They have more food sniffing dogs in the airport than drug sniffing dogs.
Really?
They That's protect hilarious. Their ecosystem like that.
Yeah.
They don't want people bringing seeds in, you know, and changing whatever they have. Like when I walked in, there was a big picture of a fly and they're like, have you seen this fly? It's a bot fly because like, somehow it came across into New Zealand and they want to eradicate it because it's – and I was like, this is insane.
That's so crazy.
Yep, seen that guy.
Yeah. Kill him on sight.
Yeah. I was like, I hate flies. I got a assault gun at rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, to wrap, I came back and then I know John for years just kind of like circled the whole story back and how it all came. And he was getting into a franchise. Back then it was called Charlie Granger's.
Yeah.
And he bought North and South Carolina as a territory and interviewed with him and became his director of operations. So I was running both and we opened up, you know, about 9 stores, not us, but like overseeing like franchisees and stuff like that. And eventually that ended up failing for whatever reason, us not at fault, you know, it's franchise. Right, we were just a part of it. And I got into real estate. And so towards the end, I knew that I didn't want to be in that anymore. I tried to get out of restaurants as hard as I could, actually. And so I got into real estate and it was going great. And then about 6 months after I got my real estate license, well, me and John, so John is very much more, he's a scientist.
Yeah.
So he's very much more analytical and I'm kind of more open. I can take ideas, break them apart, put them back together in a very weird way, business wise. And like, and so we would always converse about stuff. I'd go to lunches with him. He would have pitches and I'd hear him and then we'd talk about it. And, you know, he would just want, you know, so we just listen to a bunch of stuff. Rounds came about. We had an original partner who, this guy Bryce, who's no longer with us. He's alive, but not to us.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, he came up with this idea for a simulator gym. And it was to train golfers to rehab their swing. That was cool. But when we went back, I was like, I don't think this is cool for him. if you're an investment idea. But something clicked. I was like, I love the simulators though.
Yeah.
I was like, we got ahead of this curve. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think of it now, people are starting to catch on. And COVID obviously changed where our trajectory, I believe, initially was going to go. I still think we can reach growth and expand, but we were way ahead, you know, when we first started this idea. So I told John, I was like, I love the simulators, but imagine if we take the gym away. And it took us pretty much until we built out to get that out of Bryce's mind that there's not going to be a gym. He wanted a gym there, even with a restaurant and a bar. And I was like, this is insane. So I was like, a bar and a restaurant and simulators and multiply them. And it's a venue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and what we originally built it for is, yes, you have the golf side. You can do that. But at the same time, it's something fun for families and also adults to do. Mm-hmm. You know, me and John talk about this all the time. We want an upscale sports venue bar, you know, and because as you get older, like Wild Wing is fun, but like people are like, watch that. And you're like, whoa, which TV?
Yeah.
You know, I can't handle it in there. ADD, my sound, like the noise.
It's a lot.
I can't. I personally, as I got older, I don't like that anymore. I don't know. They teach their own, but it's a little lot, you know, when you go in those places. Like, and so we just wanted somewhere cleaner that you feel good going on a date on, or with your boys, you can come hang out, or at lunch. Yeah. You know, it's not like you're like, it could easily become like the 19th hole or a man cave.
Yeah.
Or, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
And so we kept it clean. And Bryce was with us. So my role was supposed to just build it, design it. And I built our original menu. Then we brought Lito's in a year after, just in North Carolina, restaurant qualified. You know, it was a great menu. I miss it. So good. And you remember those days?
I do. Yeah. It was very good.
You never came through.
I dropped in once because my friends knew. I don't remember why we were over there. Like, they got off of work and then we showed up and we got some food from it. And then I remember going one time and then showing up again. I'm like, this is not the same menu. Not in a bad way, but I was like, I thought there was different food here.
People do that all the time. They still come in 4 years later and they're like, can I get a charcuterie board? I'm like, when was the last time you were here?
It's been a while since you've been here.
But I was like, I appreciate that you came in the beginning. Yeah. But I love that menu. That was my baby. I built that from scratch. And yeah, I built that from scratch. It was amazing and I miss it. Yeah. But it's more of a cocktail bar menu. Lito's we brought in February or January of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I love Lito's.
Yeah.
I believe it has pulled us through COVID. Because it's a Maryland franchise. I don't know if anybody knows Lido Pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys know it now.
I'm from Pennsylvania, right across the border from Baltimore.
They actually have a couple. Yeah. So, but Lido's, I believe, pulled us through. It has, you know, it's 117 franchises now across Maryland, Virginia. North Carolina's getting a couple. We were the second. I think there's one that opened in Charlotte recently. Ooh. There's one in North Myrtle. But it's because that migration's happening. You know, people are moving down from Virginia, Maryland. Why not bring the brands that are up?
Right.
You know, we hear that all the time. Oh, we retired here. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my grandmother worked at the original and my daughters all worked there. Da, 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 da. You make my retirement. It's over and over. And I knew it was had following, but I never knew it was. It's like blood.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Lido sauce in their blood. Like,
it was funny too, because I go to rounds more than my wife probably wants me to, but with that being said,
I catch a lot of my friends telling me like, hey, we were looking at our monthly budget.
Exactly.
You spend it somewhere.
Right. Exactly. You know? But like every time I'm in there, there's always someone that's like, hey, I'm from Maryland. I came here because you guys have the Lito's pizza.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing.
And we're the coolest Lito's.
Yeah. That's
all
definitely
the other
true.
Lito's are just pizza, strip mall and pizza. Like, because we were a pre-established business. So John's from Maryland. This is how we all got into Lito's. We talked about it for about 8 years about doing Lito's.
Yeah.
John's went to University of Maryland. He studied there and he studied pretty much in college at Lido Pizza, the original in Adelphi or right near College Park.
Yeah.
And he pretty much studied there. That's where he studied. And so he's a Maryland dude, loves Lito's. We used to go to North Myrtle just to eat. People come to Lito's here from Fayetteville, from Greenville, from Jacksonville, from New Bern. We hear this all the time. Like, hey, we wanted to make a trip to Wilmington for Lito's and we're going to shop, da, 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 da. But they come all the way for Lito's. Yeah,
that's crazy.
And I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
For pizza.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's different.
It's good pizza.
By the way, Lido pizza is phenomenal. We do it different. It's a hand-rolled dough. It's a sweet sauce. sweet red sauce. It's not a marinara.
Yeah.
And it's fresh made Parmesan, or not provolone.
Provolone, yeah.
Not mozzarella, which most pizzas are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a unique flavor, but I would say people either like it or they love it. Mm-hmm. People are never like, oh, that's gross. It's always, And then your second time, you're like, damn. Try the hot honey pepperoni and your game is, the world is now changed. it's your New Zealand trip if you try that.
Right.
It literally opens your mind into a different world.
It is true, though, because when it comes to pizza, I always get like the same thing no matter where I go. But as you know, every time I come in, I'm like, all right, what's a new pizza I can try today? Mm-hmm. It's the only place that I'm willing to go outside of my pizza box.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit. Like, if I find somewhere I like, I get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll beat it until I'm over it.
Yep.
And I won't eat it for like years.
Exactly.
But at Lito's, like, I'm there 5-6 days a week, 7 sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually. I eat there pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not tired of it, you know, because the menu is pretty expansive. Best wings, salads are good. If you want to mix it, chicken tenders and fries, always the best chicken tenders and fries. Oh God.
They really are.
I'll say Chris is all about that.
Creature of habit, talking about creature of habit.
Every time I come in, they're like, Chris, do you want your chicken tenders?
Yeah.
I was like, yes. And what whiskey goes good with you?
What do you have new on this wall?
Exactly.
And then you go, well, we got the whiskey club. And
exactly.
That's also what brings y'all started this idea.
That's exactly what it was, because I knew I was going to create a podcast.
Yep.
And so we were talking about like, hey, what are we going to do?
I remember the beginnings. Way back in the day.
Yeah. And you guys started the whiskey club and I was like, I'm going to join this. I got like 3 or 4 into that. And I knew like Chris enjoyed whiskey, but the same like 2 kinds. And then the other guy that we were thinking about bringing on really liked whiskey. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I have this whiskey club. I'm learning more about whiskey. I'm really enjoying this. Like, let's bring whiskey into it.
Yeah.
So it was rounds was a big part of the
you
whiskey.
Think,
and
that's part of it. You think back on like life experience, how we all got here. It's like, it's crazy how I had an opportunity to stay in New Zealand. They offered me sponsorship to there to work at their corporate office. And I came back and it's butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. We all never would have met. Rounds wouldn't be here. I was top 3 in the company, by the way. Top 5 every quarter until I left. I was just waiting for customs to be like, you have broken every rule. Get the fuck out of our country. But it never happened. And I guess it's, I don't know. But life, again, just do things. And sometimes it works out for certain people. Sometimes it doesn't. I never got in any trouble there. My whole life, I really haven't, And it's positivity, go into that. Just like let life do good things, keep your head on your shoulders, have good motives, and good things usually turn out. Like, just, I don't know. I don't have any like nefarious inners, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
With everything I do, I'm like, I like to be happy and like hope that good, positive attracts positive.
Yeah.
And I'll always go in with an open, positive mind. Worst thing that happens is it doesn't work out. If you go in thinking it ain't going to happen and you're surprised that it does, that's also not a good mindset. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You should hope you know what you're doing. Set your mindset to everything you're doing. Have intentional things. And if it works, it works. If it not, like again, I said, worst case is I come back from New Zealand and I just live with my parents.
Right.
Yeah. But I went.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have that experience. You never would have got up.
Yeah.
Ever.
I was at that time I was bartending at Boca Bay and like Wilmington, most people don't know it's the most retirement area for ex Fortune 500 CEOs.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know a lot of money in Wilmington.
Yeah.
And you see it more now.
Yeah.
You see it now, how much money is in Wilmington. And it's becoming the South Beach, but like a lot of my regulars were these couples in Landfall and they were all on my last night. They all knew I was there for 6 years. And my last night, I built Sunday and Mondays, and they all came in, and like I got $1,500 for my trip just from that last night. But there's one couple kind of stuck out because like they were like both in tears that I was leaving.
Oh, wow.
And it was more of like it was like a second son, they're proud kind of a thing. It was weird to me at the time, but I like – and I see them now, and it's like we don't have that same relationship, but we're still cordial. But it's like at that – it was like a – they were, because the guy was like, I'm just so proud that you're doing this because it's such a crazy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I spent my whole life building what I have. And he's like, and now we go on these trips and we get a driver and we go out for an hour out of the resort. And we go for an hour and then we're tired. So we go back to the resort. And he's like, I never got to experience. I have all the money in the world now. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't have the energy to do anything. You know, wow. It's like,
yeah.
In your youth is when you really just got to take and seize. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that resonated. And I was like, this dude's worth probably $100 million. And he's living in great, but he's not, you know? Right. So money is amazing. We all need money. But mm-hmm. for me, money is freedom. It's not, the goal is just to do what you want to do when you want, you know, not to live in other people's terms. Like people get money hungry. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that was his thing. He was money hungry his whole life. And then at the end, he realized he never really lived. He just mm-hmm. worked, you know, and that's what the regret is. Like from that couple crying there at the table, like at the bar, I was like, it brought me, I'm a sensitive guy. I don't care. I cry in movies like shit. I get attached to people, characters in a movie, and I don't know why. And I'm like, I'm just like Rachel over here is like, are you crying? I'm like,
No.
I don't know why. You know, it is. But either way, I'm like, I think that's a good thing to do. Yeah. I mean, as people, you got to feel your feels, you know, everything. And that was one of those moments that made me really appreciate what I did again, mm-hmm. because it's forever. It's experiences. You know, you can always have things, but you can't come back and replace time with what you could have filled that with, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I don't want to ever live. I don't regret. I think it's another thing. It's like, don't regret. Like, what do you change things? Yeah. But regret is something that you're going to live with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're forever. It's going to toil in you. It's mm-hmm. that little bit of something mm-hmm. that is going to, and we all have it, but you have to be able to release that. Like,
right.
We are here. This happened. Own it again.
Yeah. It's like, exactly.
And, but yeah. So it's like, I don't regret going. Would life have been different? I don't regret not staying there. Have I thought about what would happen if I'd stayed in New Zealand? Yeah. But I'm like, but again, I can't dwell on that because mm-hmm. life is happening now in a great way.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and so back to rounds is like, you know, we're growing. It's like year over year. And it's like, you know, this is my life and real estate's kind of taking a little second tier shelf. I'm still helping a couple people out with like commercial stuff. Some of my friends with residential stuff like that. And, rounds is growing. So like we're back on the path before COVID mentality to see if potentially we can grow it into more. You know, we've had opportunities from people asking about putting it in other cities. Mm. And we just haven't been there yet. You know, I mean, growing through COVID, our numbers weren't there. But this year we're going to make $1 million.
Wow. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And I think you sell $1 million of anything, there's something to that.
There's people, something there.
People want that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I always thought, like, we can't sell a franchise or you can't sell a chain unless you prove that it's worth it.
Yeah.
And $1 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it shows that enough people, you know, so we've grown it year over year now. Year one to year two, we grew it like 40%. Year two to year three was 38%. Last year was 28%. And this year I'm hoping to hit about 24%.
Oh, wow.
Year over year.
Yeah.
You know, and that well, hopefully next year we keep that trend going. I'm
exactly.
Like, because it's only growing here in Wilmington. People are coming back out of like their shells from COVID, obviously.
So yeah.
Kind of hurt small businesses the most.
Yeah.
Because restaurants, man. People get weird about it, you know, and it hurts. And that's what I love about Wilmington. We support local businesses more than anything. If you look around, there's not many big chains in Wilmington, you know.
Right.
There's not a Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. There's that Joe's Crab Shack tried to come here. All these big chains, because they know it would hurt our local restaurants.
Yeah.
And we have more restaurants per capita in Wilmington than anywhere in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Not even surprised.
But if you're not surprised, though, that's good. No. Think about it, though. Even at rounds, to our left is Five Guys. To our right is Rocco. Across the street is Can We Crazy and Brunches. That's on one strip.
Yeah.
And then you go, you know, go to Mayfair. You go across the street. You got True Blue. You know, the salad place. You got OC. You got Bento. You got Epic. You got and you got Vicious Biscuit. I'm like, there is options galore here. And that's what I preach to my staff and my people is not just we're not in the food industry, we're in the customer service industry.
Yeah.
And that's where it even goes to being just a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be you, be present, and be, you know, people have options. Like they don't need to come here to eat Lito's. Yeah, they like it, but like also, you know, how many times have you ever been to going to Chipotle back in the day and you're like, oh, Zoe's is over there. You know,
right.
Cava. And you're like, you know what? Left. You're like, just like that.
Yep.
Your food changed. It's like, but then you're like, wait, Dennis is Bonavar. Nah, I don't want that. I'm going to go see my boy, you know? Or you know,
you're exactly right though, because I go to places because of people.
Yeah.
And like with rounds, Lita's is awesome. So I get some
Hallerhead in here.
Yeah. So
Kyle, you got a drink. You have.
I've been taking.
I know it's early.
Baby in it.
It's early.
But the Lido's pizza is great. But
it's
the rounds pressure I give to exactly. It's exactly
it.
What happens.
Drink it.
But that's the point I'm making too, though, is like everyone that works there is awesome. So like when I go there for a lunch break, I don't think I'm going there for a lunch break. I'm going there to hang out with my friends. Like it's a really cool vibe. Everyone there is always awesome.
Wilmington's like cheer vibe.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Everyone knows you. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
It's almost uplifting. You're like, thank God. You know, you go somewhere else, you kind of go to lunch, you're like, kind of like, all right, back to work.
Yeah.
After that, you're like, I kind of want to stay.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, and then I just am like, you want to try something?
So we have another sample here.
Guess what I got? Hey, I love it though. And I only do it because I enjoy y'all. Like, I wouldn't just give away really good whiskey to anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, you appreciate it too. You guys come in, you're part of, you know, you hang out, and then that's it. Like, you guys are our family, too. I'm like, this is a big community of Wilmington, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm there a lot. Yeah. Unfortunately,
right,
is Wilmington supports a local owner. You know, we have to. If not, would you, like, Ash, who I worked for a long time, I kind of, you know, I've read most of my books that I've took me to get to my mindset too, coming back, are leadership and self-help books. It's not, and business books. I mean, I don't really, I used to read fantasy and nonfiction or fiction, whatever. I don't my English is terrible. It's one of those things I'm like, I don't remember anymore. Which one's what? What's nonfiction?
Right.
But no, most of them are just self-help, like internal, like recognizing stuff. Like Jay Shetty, I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I think like him on one of my favorite books. It helps you just, you got to release stuff.
Yeah, I just read that a few months ago too. Highly
grounding
recommend.
Too. Go walk in the grass. You know, barefoot, by the way. Want to hear the craziest conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
That I believe.
I'm about it.
Send it.
Shoes and concrete. You know, it's this connection from the world. You know, you ever heard of grounding? It's actually proven scientifically to like reduce inflammation, depression, anxiety, all these things. And if you look at all of our shoes and how it's created, this rubber, and what stops electricity? Rubber. And what about our roads? And why is everything sidewalked? Why is there no earth anymore? We're covering it.
Yeah.
What do you think's in that shit? It's not just, you know?
Right.
Crazy conspiracy theory. But it's weird.
There's a lot of truth to that. My mom's a naturopath as well, too. So I agree with everything that you say. But something else that's mind-blowing as well. So I have a nearly 2.5-year-old son.
Yeah.
When he starts getting absolutely crazy, take him outside barefoot, put him on the ground, and even just walking around. So like people are like, oh, well, he's running around. But no, like if you just like have him sit outside, even just like in shorts and stuff, completely mellows out without even running or anything. Just mellowness.
You know what they do over in like Denmark and Sweden? It's actually a thing. It's like newborn babies, they let them nap outside in their strollers, like on the sidewalk. And what's beautiful about those countries is obviously you don't have to worry about people just taking your kids in America.
Right.
Obviously, never. You know, now that we're in this creepy world that we're in, you could never do that.
No.
But even the benefits of that, it grows their immune system. Yeah, that's actually delicious. It's like banana.
I like that.
It's almost like a rum whiskey.
It is, yeah, because it has that extra sweetness to it.
But yeah, no. So it's like you know that it's the earth is so beneficial to like what we are as people. And I in our busy ass lives, we all forget.
Rachel just tried this out.
You know, you got to remember, just get out, breathe. That's, and going from the whiskey thing, I know that the whiskey wisdom took a little hit when Tyler was on 75 hard.
Yeah.
He put me on that and we did it for 50 days.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm proud of that 50 days either way. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't a failure. I was just, life comes, and I'm proud that we stopped, me and Rach did, for 50 days straight of no drinking, like, and did the whole program. And then we went to Charleston for a concert because we never take trips. And I was like, we're not going to Charleston spending this much money if we're not drinking.
Right. I don't mind it.
We went for a Cannons concert, by the way.
Nice.
The one of two people I've ever seen live that actually are better live than they are on CD.
Oh, wow.
Other being Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
She was amazing. Rachel, that good?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was like, and when I hear the songs now on the radio, I think about her live. It was that good. But that was our Charleston trip, so I was like, let's get drunk.
Right. Can't blame you there.
Well, the hotels aren't cheap. So I was like, if we're spending this, we're taking a night off. Because we're lives busy. She owns her own hair salon.
Yeah.
I'm rounds. I'm there 6 days a week. She's there 5 days, six, seven. You know, all of us. When you own something, you can, you know, it's you.
Exactly.
And the other day, you know, John knows somebody sometimes, oh, you're working so much. You know, you know, get some help. I'm like, yeah, but you can't. It's not just like getting help, because then you lose a piece of the business.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, you have to. It's the intangible parts that are growing us right now.
Exactly,
It's that little bit of extra right now, mostly important, is pulling us through in our growth, is to know when to be, you know, and it's like a spider sense. I don't know. It's like, you know, you don't have to be there all the time, but like there's times when you feel you need to be at your business no matter what. And it's just the benefits of growing it in an intangible way. It's the customer service. It's the, you know, now we're getting in our private parties. It's with employees. It's how I handle situations. It's like, it's little things of 22 years of restaurants that like I can handle people in a different way. Especially in like a customer service role where, you know, you have to be like, hey, get the fuck off the bay.
Right.
Or,
you know. Exactly.
Your hours up. Grab your mother.
Right.
Your 80 asshole. Your hour's up. We got seven more people come by. I'm like, oh, let's go. But you have to find that like couth. It's like a soft point you can find with people. Some people have it, you know. And, you know, you guys, it's a connection that you can make really quickly. And you can't get it with everybody. It's like, but you can't teach it. You can, you can harness it and you can grow it within people and you can pull it out of them. Most people, actually everybody has it. Most people just shove that motherfucker way down and they're just never want to find that connection with people. I don't know what I am, or I don't want like people or whatever.
Yeah.
Scorn somebody in their past to make them never even open up that connection. Like where you're like, I'm just going to talk to this person openly. Who cares? Who are they to judge me? Who am I to judge them? You know?
Right.
But everybody holds on to something that their protection, I don't know, force field. So it's like, you have to kind of like lose that and also have confidence. Be like, hey, thank you so much. I hope you had a great night. But.
Right. It's about time.
We are also a business, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard, especially in a restaurant world. It's just hard to. Happening. Restaurants never stop. And we're running at the time too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay. I always book in a few extra minutes.
Yeah, it's okay. I just wanted time for you.
I appreciate it.
But yeah, it's just, you just find that like it's being able to communicate something. It's not what you. And I try to tell this to. And it goes into what I read. You know, it's all the books, self help, the leadership, the growth, the business. It's not about what you say. It's how you say it and communicate it across. And it's one of those things is like, you can't, like you just have to understand each individual, even my employees, Rachel, you got everybody, everybody's different and you have to figure out how to communicate with that one person. And when you need something, you know, it's, or when you need to tell them something, cause you can always come up in like a bull in a China shop, like, and what are you going to get back? A bull standing up to you. Like some people are like, no, I'm a grown up too. You know?
Yeah.
Like I tell people that all the time. I hate when I get bucked up on because I'm like, look, I'm a grown up too. Like, no, you are not just going to run me over anymore.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a kid. Like, yeah, man, I'm half Asian. I look, if I shave, I look like I'm 12, but I'm like, nah, show me the respect I've earned. And like, you have to you can't just walk in every situation knowing, thinking that way. I'm like, you have to find that couth. You know, that it's a molding where you're like, hey, I appreciate everything. You've been great, but hey, your time is up. And most of the time you find that and then they're like, I'm so sorry. And they, it's quick. And it's not like, and I'm like, take your time, but like, guys, like recognize, you know, and it's just even that on an everyday basis, like, you know, in any issue, like I'm not very confrontational in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I could be, I'm strong.
Right.
I can fight. I've scrapped. But like, I don't like to anymore. It's like if I can't work it out with my mind and conversation, I'm like, I'm much more intellectual on that level now where I'm like, it ain't worth it. Like,
right,
again, what happens if I come around with a black eye?
You're gonna be like, you guys come up. What happened? Oh man, this dude bumped me, or he said something to Rachel, so we got, you know.
Okay, well, now your opinion of me is like, okay, so this is just a barbarian,
right?
And just wants to fight people, you know? It's like, yes. It's a whole different, like, and we're young. Again, you age, wisdom. Yeah. We were just talking about driving down here. I'm like, I don't even care about speeding anymore. I was like, watch somebody exactly. get pulled over. I'm like, what's 3 miles an hour? $250 yeah. bucks?
Exactly. <You know?
laughs> I watched it happen. I was like, this is literally why I just don't speed anymore. I was like,
yeah. That's what happened to me too.
Wisdom, man. Drink some whiskey, have some wisdom, you know, and then slow down.
Yeah.
It's like what I tell my real estate clients, and I tell people that all my regulars that come here, and like all the Northerners, I'm like, guys, learn to pump the brakes. Find that. And that's what Wilmington brought for me, New Zealand, is to learn to appreciate and pump the brakes. We're at the coast. How bad could life really be? You got the ocean, you got family, you got friends, you got a job. We're here mm-hmm. on this earth. How bad is it? Like, slow down. Don't bring that city chaos down here. Like, we're here for a reason. And I feel like people kind of lose that when they, which is why I don't really go back to Northern Virginia. So I love my family, but like, I hate going up there.
Yeah.
It's just chaos. Everyone's like on a bustle. Like, you don't have that. Go back to that genuineness, mm-hmm. the potential for a 30-minute conversation standing in front of the romaine lettuce. And Harris Teeter.
Exactly.
You don't have that up there. You say hi to somebody and they're like, oh, what do you want? Like, what do you need?
Right.
You know, it's like that. Yeah. It's a closed off. And I'm like, I don't hear. It's like, but we're getting that mixture now. Mm-hmm. And you feel that. But I'm like, they'll learn. Give them 2-3 years. Everybody pumps the brakes when they come down here. It just takes that time. But I'm like, that's a life mentality.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it happened to me too. So I had my DJing company up in PA. I moved it down here. And up there, it was like moment after moment after moment. You're moving quick.
Yeah.
And so I was down here. I'm like, why aren't you calling me back the next day? Why aren't you like emailing me back like within like 12 hours? Like, I need to know. I need to keep on moving. And it only took about 2 years. And I was like, different way of life. I appreciate it. I need it.
Because sometimes you don't want to respond back.
Exactly.
You get an email or a text and you're like, I can't even right now. I will put this on the... But you understand it now where you're like,
exactly.
But up in that city, hustle.
Yeah.
Now. And I'm like, no, your time is more appreciative than mm-hmm. that. Like, you don't need to be on everyone else's beck and call.
Exactly.
All the time. Like, you got to be able to disconnect again, go back to ground, get some mm-hmm. earth, mm-hmm. like, appreciate where we're at. Like, dumb. Mental is better than like stressing in the moment. Sometimes, like, we talked about it. Me and Rachel will be out somewhere, and I'm like, I can't deal with this right now. You know, I golf a lot. Go back down. I always tell my buddies, worst thing that ever happens is picking up your phone for a business call on the course. Your next swing, million times is horrid.
Oh, yeah.
Because your mind, it just, like, you got to figure out, like, and you have to handle certain things certain times and, like, actually do stuff. That's life.
Right.
You have to. But then, like, there are certain times where we force chaos into our own lives unneededly, you know, mm-hmm. and it's, I don't know if it's what it goes into the human psyche of like, some people like that. Some people need it. You know, they feel that rush off of it, but it's like, we just got to take that out. I don't know.
Right,
and like, it goes into like it's an individual. You can go back to like what the root was, not the problem. What's the root?
Yeah.
Well, I answered that call and then my mind's all fucked off because I can't swing in the next 3 holes. I'm like pissed off. And then my whole day's fuck, because I wasted $60 on golf.
Yeah,
9 balls, you know, times 250 a ball. I'm like,
exactly.
You know, but if I just didn't take that call him after the course, you know, then everything's fine and I can handle it better. It's like, but you handle that in life. And sometimes, again, is the restaurant burning down? Answer mm-hmm. that call. Do they not have orange juice? No.
Right.
They're growing. Figure it out.
Go to Harris.
You
Teeter.
Can figure it out. You can, exactly. You know. And but we all take that on our lives where we just think everything is like an emergency.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's good, like for golf too, right? Because I started picking up golf just recently as well too.
Good. You got to get your swings in.
I know. Yeah. I know where to go too. And that's one of the things. Like, if you don't have your mind set on swinging properly and hitting that ball, you will know that your mind is elsewhere because that ball will go elsewhere.
Yeah. Golf. I mean, golf. For me, and I play a lot with my buddy Den. He owns Tap T Bar.
Yeah,
he's one of my best friends, and that's like, it's mental, man. I'm mm-hmm. like, and it helps me be calm. I need golf. It helps me. My mind mm-hmm. is a hamster that never stops running on that ball.
Yeah.
Like, I can't slow it down. Rachel will tell you. I'll sit up in bed. I'll be in bed. And she's like, what are you doing? It's 3:30. I'm like, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
I thought about something and here we are.
I literally don't know why I'm up, but I'm here and I'm going to get up at 8. Don't worry.
Yep.
But I'm still here right now. Yeah. And I'm just, you know, and so like golf kind of help. If on good days, she knows gym, working mm-hmm. out, water, getting outdoor. Golf is outdoors. You know, it's like, it helps me just,
yeah,
which I need it a lot, you know, and remind myself in our chaotic lives of everything, you know, relationships, restaurant, everything is just breathe again.
Mm-hmm.
We did this thing called a Temes call. Me and Rach went to Mexico last March.
Yeah.
And that was another, like a life shifting thing. It was this Temes call. It's a shaman tent. It's like a hot tent.
Okay.
It's, what is it, an hour? Yeah. It's an hour. I don't even know. There's four sessions to it though. And like what it is like you go into a hot tent and there's all this chanting. Bang, and fucking, it was crazy. The craziest sober out of body experience I've ever had.
Really?
Legit out of body. I died and came back to life. My face went like, and they say it's all your energy being transferred out because it's so hot and like there's water. I had to lay on the, I was like, I thought I died at one point. I legit was like, make sure you're breathing. I was like, it was insane. So it's an hour and it's four different sessions. And like what you do is you put your, again, you start out and you put your intentions in the beginning. Everyone says their intention, you receive it and you have to put it out there. And then they start this whole process and each one gets hotter and hotter and hotter. I tried to quit. We did. They dragged my ass back in there. Legit. They're like, you're halfway through. You can't end up looking freakish like this. Cause my face, Rachel's hands, because of your energy, her hands pinned out. My face, I couldn't, I was like, it was like all this anxiety and whatever stress came to my face. And it was like, my face like froze. Like it was, so I was talking weird. Like that. And eventually it wound out like after an hour.
Yeah.
But that's my whole crazy. Face was frozen. They were like, this is like this, your energy just releasing. And that's part of it. It's like you, and like in that, I was like, I told her, Rachel, after, I was like, I literally was in like a, I saw like a light. It was like, I was in a, I've never like, you go into like a blackness of like, you're in a trance and it was insane.
Wow.
Because you're so hot and it's like you're fighting for survival, but you're on the ground and then you hear the noise and like your mind just, you just, you're displaced. Again, you're present. You're so present in that moment that you're only you and your mind and your inner thoughts of like, whoa.
That's crazy.
But we came out of that. I tell people all the time, I'm like, after that experience, and she made me do it. It was during the Super Bowl. We missed the first half of the Super Bowl. We signed up for it, and I was like, oh, fuck. And we're in Tulum, and I was like, no, we got to watch the Super Bowl. And she's like, we signed up for this, babe. And I was like, I'll do it by myself. And I was like,
I'm so glad I didn't do it by myself. I would have like, oh, my God. It was so scary.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I go, we're in Tulum. I love you. Fuck the Super Bowl. I'm going to do this with you. We'll see the second half. And we did it, and we watched the second half. And like, but afterwards, I was like, it's one of those that I attribute recently a lot. And I go back to that, to my being, because it got chaotic. Our lives were chaotic.
Right.
And like, I am just like much more like right now. Like, across the board from that experience and like future business. Bring that thing here. I'm like, that was insane. Yeah. Like the guys down there, they do it every 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
So people were in there and like we met this couple from California. They fly down once a month to go do this. And it's like that insane. And like people are, and after they don't, the anxiety, like their faces aren't freezing, obviously. Like mine does and her hands are out. Because you release it though. But it's like the most ultimate, like it's great for your skin. Like it's not just your mind, sure, it's your body, and like your digestion starts, you know, and like afterwards we smoked raw cigarettes and they're like, the problem is, you know, tobacco in that culture, it's a release.
Right.
You know, you breathe in, you're releasing with tobacco. It's, you know, in those settings again, we just abuse the shit out of it. Obviously, nicotine, I'm smoking a vape here. I'm like, you know, but in that setting,
I'm sure they don't have a bunch of tar and stuff in it either.
No, it's raw tobacco. It was raw tobacco. Like, and I talked to the shaman and we sat there because my, I'm trying to eat like fruit afterwards.
And I'm talking to them. Dude, I was like trying to talk to people. And I'm like holding my mouth over my face. And they're like, just let it. And I'm like, I don't know. It was.
I didn't recognize him. Yeah.
That's crazy. My whole face like froze out. It was crazy. And they were like, that's your energy.
It was so swollen. I didn't recognize him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was.
I mean, it makes sense because that's probably the things that you're mentioning that froze up are the things that you use all the time and that you put a lot of energy into. So like when that has to release out of it.
You know?
I never thought about that. Your hand.
I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, actually, it makes a lot of sense.
I never thought about it. They don't pull it to you. It just moves. It moves.
Yeah. I like freaked out because I was like trying to remember to breathe. And then I was like, I looked over and I was like, Dennis, my hands.
It just feels like dark in there. There's a little fire and it's dark. And it's smoke. Like, all it is smoke. You barely see each other. And at one point, I try to grab her because I was like dying. And like she thought it was somebody else and she runs away. Like, and then she recognizes it was me. And I'm like, no, please come here. I need like some solace. Like,
right.
But I never thought about that, yeah. Chris. Like, yeah. That's like. Me, it's face, like your hands, like it's talk. I talk.
Yes.
No, right.
I do a lot of talk, job. A lot of facial expressions.
Unfortunately, I talk a lot.
And, I mean, you cut hair.
She owns her hair. Yeah, she owns a main studio, you know.
And that's the part that like really scared me because I didn't think they were ever going to get back. So I was, oh my God, right, Dennis.
Like, this is my job.
I'm like, look at my face. I have to see people. The only other time my face ever looked like that was my sophomore year of high school. I got poison ivy on my neck and I swelled out.
I was going to say, do you guys remember Hitch?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
When he had the.
Yes.
Oh, no.
His whole my face looked like that.
I thought I was.
I thought he was allergic to like
the eucalyptus or something. It could have been that. I don't know. It could have been that.
I don't know.
But I was.
Funny.
I tried to quit. Like I said, the third quarter, there's 4 pieces. I'm like after
stuck
the second
him in a
one,
shower.
They like maybe go out there. The shaman came out and put some oils on me and all this. And then he's like, "You have to come back." And I was like, "Oh no!"
I'm like, "Well, I really go back." But it makes sense. But
then
I finish
it, and then it makes sense. You have to finish the again. It goes again. This is why you have to finish everything you do. Because there's a process, and like, you know, it's like that picture you always see, the miner chipping away, gets a small diamond, and then there's the big diamond right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like life is like that. You finish your – intentionally go into something and finish it. Mm-hmm. If you quit in the middle, you'll end up with a fat face.
Yeah. it's cool you bring that up, too, though. Even when I was in middle school, I played football, and – I wanted to quit halfway through the season just because of like the coaching and everything else. Yeah. And my dad was like, you started something, you're going to finish it. And at the end of that season, I ended up with the winning touchdown of the championship. So okay.
And now that's like, probably one of the most sports memorable moments in your life.
Exactly. It's one of the reasons like for sports 1 and 2, just like, hey, I started this. I need to finish it. I could have that championship winning touchdown.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, small very, very goal, similar. Exactly.
And you know, it's like, you know, we all have my older brother, black sheep of our family. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell him all the time. I'm like, he sets these lavish goals. Like, I need to do this and this and this. And I'm like, again, it goes back to like finish small goals.
Yeah.
Set small things and build on that. And then stretch your goals.
Yep.
You know, you need to feel completion and success before you can set a goal that is unattainable. You need to feel good. It's that snowball of positivity. Mm-hmm. Just rolls in itself. And like you start feeling better. It's confidence. Okay, now I can really fucking go do this. And then your mind is actually ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
If you just like, all right, I'm going to go start an empire. What are you building it off of?
Right.
You know,
it goes back. The first step.
Yeah. And that's part of like expansion of rounds. Like we never did it. And I went to the Charlie Granger thing. I was like, you know, with the franchise, I brought this up in like franchise meetings with the owners and like the founders and stuff. I was like, guys, like we need to have a better base here. And who knows what happened ever with that. I think it was more like I feel like it was a Ponzi scheme. Who knows? You know, it's weird. You know, you go into it. I think it was odd. You know, how it was a unproven. It was Charlie Granger's. The original was proven here for one. And you can see why it could be franchisable. I don't know if y'all ever went there.
Sure, yeah.
It was. It could be. But it wasn't a model you could really sell as like a
what they sold it for.
Right.
A retirement package. Oh, you can work 9 to 4 and make $1 million a year selling hot dogs, man. You know how many fucking hot dogs you have to sell?
Yeah,
hot dogs. That's what I started thinking. And that's why I was like, I don't want to, I would, and this is one of the round things. It goes, I've been a part of that. Like, I don't mind. $1 million is what I felt needed to be a model.
Right.
Personally, before I'd ever willing to preach it and sell it like water.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a concept.
What's funny too is when I first started in jewelry, I was at Helzberg, and my regional manager, when we were having a bad month, you could sell one expensive diamond and make your whole entire month.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And she would always say,
anyway, keep going.
Chris is giving me a look. It's a long story. But anyway, I worked in a very small mall at a very small store. Hey, so it made sense. Anyway,
though.
But what she would always say is, we're not selling hot dogs. So, which kind of goes to that point. That's a lot of hot dogs.
A lot of hot dogs. $2.50 a hot dog to make $1 million. And I was like, you're selling $1 million dream to these people?
$2.50 you know,
they were selling it to people, you know, one of these couple in North Myrtle. I love them. I felt bad they were getting in. And I'm just here to build up, help them, train them. Right, I was like, I can't tell them all my thoughts. This is my opinion, though. And I was like, the dude sold mattresses. And he made a bunch, you know, good money. And then they pretty much put their life savings into a restaurant. I'm like, I tell everybody, don't get into restaurants. You're signed up for it. It's forever. It's labor. Yeah. It's food costing, you know, boxes. And you just, again, we open our door and we hope people show up. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, you can promote, you can have the great food, but like there's going to be a day that people just don't show up, you know, it's just not your day. And that's restaurants. Like you hope. And that's what I tell everybody. It's uncertainty of life. You just, you know, you do your best and you just go and you hope the best comes out. And that's like in a restaurant mentality. That's what I tell the staff. I'm like, unless we have reservations, we have parties that we can go seek and book. I'm like, then we just open our door and hope, you know, you guys show up for lunch. You guys decide that you want to eat rounds at lunch today instead of it being Five Guys or go to Harris Teeter for a sub or something. Like, you want that, like, again, that camaraderie real quick. You want to have a sit down. You want to like fucking enjoy a lunch. And it's different when you just go pick up something and go, you know, and sometimes your mentality is like that. But as I say, customer service,
right?
It goes into, I need this today. I'm going to go hang out. I'm here to hang. Like, I want to have a lunch that actually I enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's customer service side where we're all seek something, you know what I mean? Like, we open our doors and we hope y'all show up.
Yeah. We came up on 60 minutes pretty real quick. Yeah. So I have one last question for you then. If you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I played this over my head a lot. Well, first it would have been invest in Bitcoin early.
Exactly. that too.
That's how you know he's listened to the podcast, because he's at least thought about this question.
Right.
It probably would have been just don't be an idiot with your money when you're young. Like how much money I wasted just going out. Like and that's one of the reasons, like, you know, drinking. It's like, you know, why I stopped. And like, you think about it, how much money we'd go out and party during our 20s, 18, 19, 20, 21 in college, go out to the bar, drop $100, $50 a night, and you're going out four nights a week, five nights a week. And you're like, think about that. It's like $300 a week.
That was times like half my paycheck.
Bro, I would legit work and make like $300 and be like, I come home the next day and I'd be like, I made 100 last night. That's cool. Right. I spent 200 at the bar on something I probably don't remember, on people I didn't care about that aren't even here in my life anymore. I'm like, you know, and that's that part. That's the only thing I'd ever say back is just be smarter with your money. Don't work for endless, like it goes into intentional stuff. Like don't work for the scene. You know, I worked to go out back then. It was like, and that happens a lot here too in Wilmington, where you get caught up into, you know, you're lost in the sauce is what I call it.
Yeah.
People get, it's a lifestyle, but you can pull yourself out and still enjoy it here and there, you know, but that's kind of what got me into all this anyways. It's like bartending downtown.
It's a hard dichotomy, especially with bartending too, because this is what I tell everyone. I've told your staff as well too, as long as every other staff that I've ever met is like, if you are in bartending, you can make good money.
Yeah.
However, I understand, I've been in customer service as well too, in many different ways. It's stressful. You want to release that stress. If you can balance that dichotomy of making the best of being in that bar service industry and not going crazy when you have that chance to go by yourself, you will have a great career.
You can make six figures bartending.
Easy.
In Wilmington. Yeah. Easily. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like you say, that release, you go and drop 40K of that on your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so you made 60. That's cool. Yep. But you dropped literally 40K in drinking.
Exactly.
And when I was bartending downtown, I remember I'd spend more money tipping my friends than I did on actual drinks.
Yeah.
You're just throwing money. We didn't earn it, you know? And I'm like, now that I'm older, you know, drink enough whiskey, had enough wisdom and slowed down. I'm like, you know, again, time is the only currency we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember those nights, half of them, you know, brownouts, blackouts, who knows?
Yep.
We were partying and it was too much. And I was like, you know, and it's like, slow down and actually just go out, have drinks.
Yeah.
I don't have to buy everywhere at the bar or shot, though.
Exactly.
I'm at a 3-drink max now.
After 75 horse,
we're only at 2 here, so
I can't get past 2. Yeah.
Well, no. So I have to go. So it's Sunday. So we're going to get lunch. And then I'll probably go to Starling because Emily loves the painkillers they have on Sundays.
Where's that?
Starling. It's literally like.
Oh, that's in the car.
Yeah. So we support where we stay.
Yeah. It's community, man.
So you guys work in Mayfair, so we go to Round for lunch, and then when we're here, we go over to Starling. Yes. So
support the community, though. It's and you're not going to like Chili's.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, we found a local bar that we like, and that's us. We're a franchise, but we're not.
Yeah.
We're not.
Exactly.
If you think about Rounds, is me and John. Lido's the franchise. This is our food, but it's not a.
The concept is not.
Yeah.
And you feel it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can definitely
feel it. The vibe's not corporate. I'm like, and I run it like that. I built Rounds to be an accumulation of all the restaurants I worked at to be the restaurant I always wanted to work at.
Yeah.
And there's systems and there's standards in place, but I'm like, what I require more is just personality.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun, work hard, and just do your job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, it ain't hard.
Yeah.
And then you have to be, as a manager, you have to be on people. But again, if you instill that, hey, their money is to be made, but you don't have to have a stressful your salt shaker, 6 grains light.
Right.
I've been there. I was a corporate trainer at Bonefish for years. I'm like, fucking hated it, man. And I've done it. I want this to be able to be, Rounds. I hope it grows. I hope in 3 to 5 years we got them all across, there was nothing though.
Yeah.
You know, when we did it, we did a research trip to Florida and there was this Golo Girls and it was a Hooters of simulator golf. And it was we laughed about it because I'm like, there's 0% chance I would ever bring this to Rounds or to Wilmington. You know, I was like, this is not the model. And then there was none of them, but now they're popping up here and more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we have is something that could actually expand. So I'm hoping in the next couple of years, we'll see, grow Rounds, grow it and, sell it and be free.
Yeah.
go back to New Zealand.
Yeah. Not bad at all.
Yeah. That's the plan. So I know it's been running, man. I appreciate you guys. So
Thank you so much for coming on. And go ahead, Chris.
I just want to say thank you so much for supporting us, letting us drink at Rounds, getting us started on the whiskey club. There are 3 tiers there. So you guys
started. I finished it.
Silver, gold, and platinum.
Yeah.
Chris is still on his first one.
Yes.
Chris is taking his time like a normal person.
I took 2 years, so it's okay. At my own place.
So definitely go check them out. Is there a social media for you guys?
Yep. Rounds Golf, Wilm. And we have a Facebook page. Yeah, come check us out. It's it's phenomenal. So I think it's one of the best bar. We are the best bar, whiskey bar in Wilmington, hands down, quality wise. I mean, other places have bigger selections, but what we have as far as everything, you're like, wow.
One of the things I've always said too, you just don't even have the space to have the whiskey collection that a Rebellion has.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the breadth of availability of whiskey, you definitely have the best.
That's what I'm saying. We have 114 right now.
Oh, wow.
And, but it's that's a lot, you know? And, but they're all bangers.
Yeah. They're all good.
They're all good. I'm not buying your 20, I get sold on a couple things here and there, but they're off the shelf quick.
Right.
I'm everything up there is something I enjoy. Y'all enjoy. Sometimes I do the group opinion. Hey, I'm picking this up. What do y'all think? That's the days you guys can sample this and let me know what you think. Is it worth putting this on the board.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate you guys and like my people and my regulars, you know, yeah. One of the big people for me, you've talked to him, Ryan Payne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's, I don't know if you met him. He works at Encino.
I've probably seen him.
He sits at the bar. He's my other chicken tenders and fries guy.
That's true.
Every time. No, I go, Buffett Q? He's like, yeah. He was confused. I asked him. That's how regular it is. But
I love it.
He and I told Tyler was there one day and I introduced him. I was like, this is my, he introduced me and explained whiskey so much more for me. And I will try to introduce you next time he's there. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. Tech guy, younger, but he knows his shit. And like he's taught me about what the whiskey club teaches you rye, sherries, bourbons, barrels, scotches, you know, your Asian, like Japanese whiskeys, your palate needs to open up just like wine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just jump into these good whiskeys and appreciate it the same unless your palate is ready for it. Like wine. Mm-hmm. I tell my friends that it's like you start with the Pinot Noir and you just hammer Pinots.
Yeah.
Until you can graduate to like a blend or a Malbec. And then all of a sudden you get to cabs. And once you get, I'm not going to give somebody Camus if they go, oh, that's good.
Right.
You don't even know what you're drinking. You know, of course you're going to say it's good, but you don't know. Like you can't, it's a chewing wine. Like you can literally, and like whiskeys are the same. You guys appreciate it now. The more that you go through your palate as you drinking this much for a year now on here. You can taste more in them, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And you can taste the rye. And you can taste, I don't know if you have some sherries.
We have a couple back there.
I'm going to pour one little quick one. Starward from Australia.
Australia, yeah.
The one we had last week.
It's a sweet one. But I just want to try again, I've never tried an Australian whiskey. And so that's kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
I like, it's weird, smells fruity.
Yep.
But that's the point of this is like we gain wisdom from just life, but also from trying different whiskeys.
Interesting, right?
It's conversation, you know, you'd bring perspective on that. And then we all have a different take on it.
Yeah.
Which is what I like. And I love watching Rachel drink whiskey.
Tastes like medicine.
Again, all of them do because her palate isn't ready.
Yes. Right.
That's what, again, it goes into that. Everything tastes the same to her. Doesn't matter if I gave her the Whistle Pig 18.
Instantly.
Remember, you guys tried that. You tried that. Yeah. I don't know if you had it. I'll give you a little bit. It's the best whiskey we have. It's $700 a bottle, one of 156 ever made. I bought all three in New Hanover County 2 years ago. We're on our last one. I debated for a while if one was going to fall off the shelf.
Right.
But I've sold enough of it and we drink it there. And it's to give people tries of that. But we sell for $125 a pour.
Yeah.
But if I gave her that, she would think the same damn thing. She'd be like, oh, is this Australian whiskey? But that goes into that palate. You have to graduate. You know what I mean? Yep, it's like you got to go take your steps. And then I'm like, okay, now you're ready.
Yes.
All right, young Padawan.
Right.
No, but hey, I owe you a couple. I got a bottle of, I'm going to give you guys the Basil Hayden Toasted.
Ooh, sounds good.
It's a limited release. Fucking amazing. I don't really like toasted barrel whiskeys a lot, but it's for you guys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for always being great friends and great customers. And no, it's a cool one to have, the Toasted.
Yeah.
Because you got the regular one. I don't know if they even sell it anymore right now, but I stock up, you know what I mean?
Awesome, yeah.
When I see them, I'm like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll try to buy everything I got.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you never know when, again, you never know when it's going to run out. Yep. That's the hardest thing about the club. Like, you can't keep up with stuff right now.
Yeah.
But I try to, so.
You're doing good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dennis, for popping on here. Follow Tyler in the social medias because we are giving away a big bottle, a Howlerhead.
Yep.
And if I don't say it enough, thank you guys for listening and check out Rounds. Come find me.
Yeah, odds are chicken tenders. You will see
11:45 to 12:30 about twice a week.
Yeah, which is accurate. Yeah,
between both of us, we try 3 or 4 times a week. We'll be
Chris
here.
Sometimes a little bit later.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes he's like 3:30.
Yeah. I love it.
But Tyler, on cue.
Yeah,
11:50.
Exactly.
usually one of our first because like we open at 11, but people don't roll in. I'm like, it's lunch. I'm like, again, you open your doors, you hope people show up. Sometimes I watch Tyler walk by and I go,
Where is he going?
What a fucking cheater.
I literally say that out loud.
I'll say it to you too, Chris. I watch you walk by. I'm like, but that's the part. I'm like, I'll give them shit. If I open the door, I'll be like, hey, where the fuck are you going?
I turn around and walk in if you do. Like, okay, well, I won't get a snack for Harris Teeter.
I'm like, that's the options. Like, you need that. You're probably going to go. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, or budget. Well, who knows? Like, but that's life. Like, but when y'all walk in, I'm like, I'm not going to pressure anybody to come to rounds. But I'll give you shit for not coming. No, I appreciate you guys. This has been awesome.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, I ramble so much. I don't know if you guys said too much.
Oh, no. That's perfect. That's what a podcast is. Fun. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Love it.
Look out for the hot.
This is why my face blew up over the tennis call.
Right.
No, that. I was. Did you get a picture?
I did. Yeah. Oh, I did all three.
No.
Yeah, we'll get one.
Yeah, we got one. That's funny, though. Thank you, guys. Right. And this Howlerhead was actually delicious.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That was bomb.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all the good stuff.
Everything.
See you soon. Bye.
Boy.